Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. 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 Keep your head to the sky. What a poetic song, right? What a poetic song. And because think about it. That's the only way. That's the only way that we are going to make it in this world. If we keep our eyes, keep our mind, keep our soul, keep our being on Yahushua or HaMashiach, our Savior and Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I'm your brother Ariel once again here at Kol Elohim. I may sound a little different. Give me a shout out to let me know y'all still can hear me, because I don't have my earpiece in tonight, because we're going to have some distinguished guests on tonight, a couple of Morays on tonight, and get into some discussions tonight. And also, you can call in. You can call in and give an opinion, ask a question, whatever. We'll have the Morays answer the question, or we're listening to your experience in what we'll be talking about tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to open up with a prayer, and we're going to move on forward from there. Hallelujah! 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 Toda Abaya once again to bring it up to the Shabbat door. It may not be open just yet, but in a few more minutes, your Shabbat door will be open and welcoming all who takes refuge in it. Again, who takes refuge in your Shabbat, Father, because we know and understand what it means. It means a time to rest, a time to lay down and put all your burdens, all this world to the side. So we thank you for that, Abba, in getting to a deep meditation, a deeper conversation of whatever that person needs, whatever they need. When it comes to these 24 hours, Father, not that you're not there each and every day, but you made this day special, Father. You said that this day was blessed, it was sanctified, it was set apart, and it was holy. You said this about your seventh day Shabbat, Father. So all those who take hold of it will move within holiness, will move within set apartness, and we'll get a blessing out of this day, Father. So if we just keep it right, the right mind of relationship with you, Father, that it will be able to do everything that you said it was. It will do that for each and every person who walked through the door of the Shabbat, Father. So I ask and pray for all that Yahweh, my family members, all the nation of Israel, Father. I would like to pray for, give out for Ema, Father, that you continue to heal her, Father. For Deuel, you continue to heal him. For Rabbi, Father, you continue to heal him and strengthen him, Father. And if anybody else, Zakin Ward, that you continue to strengthen and your shalom will be upon him, Father. And if I didn't call their name, Father, you know, Father. You know each and every person what they need. I'm asking in your son, holy and precious name, that you give them, Father, what they need. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray and ask. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah once again, family. Hallelujah once again. We're back here at Kol Elohim, Hebrew culture. I'm about to say Hebrew, Kelly. I'm about to say my email. No, Hebrew culture, family. We here is Hebrew culture, and we started a new journey last week. And the journey that Abba has us on is called A Breach in the Spirit. We started last week, and it had subtitles, and it would be dealing with mental illness, demon possession, and childhood trauma. All three of these will fall under that umbrella. And we will be talking about different conversations throughout. Tonight's conversation, we'll have Moray Mariel and Moray Deuel on tonight, and we'll be talking about the aftermath of marriage, and how, as believers, are we affected by that, as we, some of us, have been through a marriage that ended, you know, and how the world perceives marriage is a little different than how we as believers perceive marriage. But again, we'll allow the Morays to explain the aftermath of marriage and the questions we'll be going through and the answers we'll be getting will be the will of Yahweh, hopefully and prayfully. And if you want, the lines are open. The lines are open. So if you have any thoughts, any comments, any questions, you can call in. You can call in Blog Talk. Matter of fact, if there's somebody on the line, if you're on the line, you have the number. There's a way that you can hit a button and whatever it would do, I don't know what you do, but Rabbi Yaka'el will be on the switchboard tonight, and he'll be letting people in how you chime in on Blog Talk if you want to ask a question or if you want to just make a comment. So we'll go back to the opening scripture, and I just want to give an overview of last week, what we went through. We looked up the word breach, and we come to understand that that is a separation within your spirit, a separation within something, but the thought was a breach in the spirit. So if the word breach means a separation, a hole, or something, right? A breakthrough. That what happened to our spirit. Something along the line in our lives was broken through, had broken through our spirit. We also looked up what is mental disorder, and we also looked up spirit possession and how childhood trauma affects us as adults. We also had two questions that we went through, and one of them was, can one serve Yahweh with a mental illness? And the second was, can demon possess someone who is saved? Can demon possess someone who is saved? And all those answers came out last week. And if you want, you can go back in the archives, because it's in the archives, and you can listen to that last week's show. But as always, we will open up with the opening scripture, and this has been my opening scripture. This will be my opening scripture throughout the 6 weeks of Blog Talk, and we're starting in Yeshayahu, that is Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. That is Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And again, with this journey that we are on, the bottom line is healing. The bottom line is digging up, rooting up those things that's deep down in us, tearing them up and exposing them, and then replacing them with the word of Yahweh, replacing them with the spirit of Yahweh. So we want to expel those things that hinder us in our relationship with Abba Yah. Amen? Amen. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our suffering, yet we considered him plagued, struck by mighty one. And again, I will be reading out of the WEBA, and I won't be reading but so much tonight, friend, but we just want to lay a foundation before we get into the interview. So I'll start at 4 again. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our suffering. Yet we considered him plagued, struck by mighty one, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And there's a very important clause in just one scripture right here. Just listen to this right here and meditate on this every now and then. the punishment that brought our peace was on him. The punishment that brought our peace. And that's just giving us a thought in what Yahushua had to go through to just to give us shalom within this world system. But as we've been talking about, there's a breach. So sometimes that peace, it get messed up. It get pushed to the side. Your life becomes in shambles. Pain, suffering comes to the forefront, where peace should be once, as believers, what we come to believe is, once we come this way, that we in eternal peace now. Our life is, as my rabbi would say, we are skipping through the tulips, right? We're just living in bliss. Not so. Not so. Not so. Because with coming to the Messiah, coming to Yahushua, first salvation is given to us automatically. But now he has to show us. Now he has to show us how we still have ties to this world. But after we took that dip, what represents the old man dying and the new man coming up in baptism, but it don't always work like that. Yahweh, we have to go, we have to live so we can understand who we are. We have to experience this life. We have to experience this flesh and understand how this flesh works. So that traps a lot of believers because they never understand how this flesh works, and they get this mindset, they just read and do what they say do. Yes, that's fine. I'm not saying that's not fine. But in just reading and say do what he say do, we'll never learn about us and how this flesh works. And that's what Abba wants. He wants us to understand how this flesh, how this world affects us, not just as believers, but as human beings. This world has a hold on us. Why? We were made from it. We were made from the dust, the scripture said. He bore Adam out of the dirt. He formed him out of the dirt. So we have to understand these things, and some of us with the childhood trauma that's been there for years got some things that's deep down in there. And certain situations come about. We react a certain way, and sometimes we don't know why we react that way. We don't know why we do this certain things. We don't know. But we have the Ruach. We have given our lives to Yahushua HaMashiach. So we want to understand. We want to heal. We want to root up. We want to be on that firm ground. Because when calamity comes, not if, when it comes, and this is one of the thoughts that Abba was giving me, because we're in a time of turmoil. Each and every day you turn on the TV, something is happening. Halal and his minions, the devil and his minions, are building this world on a course, or driving this world on a course to total destruction. As the children of Israel were in the wilderness and Abba Yah guided them, it would be the same thing. But if we have these ties to this world, if we have these emotions unchecked, if we don't understand this flesh, we'll get caught up like a lot of Israel did in the wilderness. And when these calamities come about, we'll fall to the wayside. We won't be able to stand on that rock, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. So Abba Yah has us in boot camp right now, in spiritual boot camp. So we can get stronger. Our spirits can get stronger, and we can rely on Abba Yah even more. Matter of fact, before I introduce the brothers, I'd like to go somewhere in the scripture. I'd like to go, because we started reading this last week about Eliyahu in 1 Kings. We read last week before last, that is, in 1 Kings. We went to 1 Kings 19, and we read 19, 1 through 9. And there was a question at the end. Abba Yah asked at the end of 1 through 9, how did you get here, right? And it was no different than what he gave one of the Morays, Moray Mariel, a couple of weeks ago. He asked the question, he showed the first question that Abba asked Adam, where are you? And understanding what the question is not how did you just get here or where are you? Where are you in your spirit? Where are you in your emotions? Where are you within me? It is a deep that we as believers must always meditate upon. Where am I in my relationship with Abba Yah? Where am I in this world system? So we're going to go to 1 Kings, and we're going to finish a little bit more of that story in 1 Kings before I get into with the brothers. And Abba gave me this thought a little earlier. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 9. We're going to start at 9, and we're going to go down to 13. I'm just going to accept that I'm sounding okay. Ain't nobody text say I sound far away or nothing like that. So I'm just going to accept that I'm sounding okay. And Kings, oh, I'm in 9. I'm sorry, Sammy. Oh, Toda, Aki, Toda. Excuse me. I'm in 9. I got to get down to 19. Chapter 9. And he came to me. And he came to a cave there. And again, I'm going to give y'all the backdrop just in case somebody wasn't here and you haven't never heard the story. The backdrop to this is after Eliyahu defeated the 800-plus prophets, after he did all that, they killed the 800-plus prophets. They showed that Yahweh was the mighty one and not Baal or not Asherah. And Jezebel, at that time, she was the queen, so to speak. And once she found out what he did, how Eliyahu killed all his prophets, she told him, I'm going to kill you. And at that time, Eliyahu fled for his life. So if you go back and start at 1 through 9, that is the gist of what it's talking about, Eliyahu reign. Now we're picking up in 9. He came to a cave there and camped there. And behold, Yahweh's word came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here again? And just think about that. Meditate on that when you're somewhere that we shouldn't be spiritually, mentally, even physically. What are you doing? Because that question ain't just to Eliyahu. Where are you ain't just to Adam. It's to each and every believer. Where are you? What are you doing here? Questions for us to provoke thought within ourselves, to start combing our own mind. 10. And he said, Eliyahu, that is, I have been very jealous for Yahweh, the Elohim of armies, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, this is Yahweh now speaking to him, and he said, go out and stand on a mountain before Yahweh. Behold, Yahweh passed, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke it in pieces, the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire passed, but Yahweh was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a still, small voice. When Eliyahu heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood in the entrance of the cave. Behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Listen to that again. again, he asked him the exact same question. He said a very strong wind came through first. But let's look at it in its totality. Let's see it. What does that mean to us today? How can we relate to that, this strong wind? And remember, the whole situation, the brother fleeing for his life. His life right now, in his mind, is unstable. What does that wind point to? What does this strong wind in this brother in our lives point to? All these spirits, all this commotion that's going on in our lives, all these spirits that's boggling in our minds. Again, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? The earthquake, again, commotion that's going in the brother's life, the instability that he's not standing on, the rock. Because when you stand on your house shore, it does not quake. It does not crack. But the instability that's going on in his mind, again, where are you? And that happens to all of us, each and every one of us. It happens to these whispers, these winds, the instability. Now that fire, our own passions, our own desires, our own anxieties comes. That's what happened to the brother. His anxiety overwhelmed him. His fear overwhelmed him, and he ran. It happens to all of us. This anxiety come about. But what Yahweh say? A still, small voice. A calm. That's where I'm at. I'm that calm. I'm that perfect peace for you, believers. I am that perfect peace for you. So when you have these whispers, when you have this instability, when your own passions and anxiety overwhelm you, still small, the voice. Because again, he's telling us, he's whispering to us. But because of all the wind, the earthquake, the fire, we don't hear him. We don't hear him. But it ain't, he is talking. But because of all the commotion going on in our lives, we don't hear him. And we allow that passion to overwhelm, and we end up somewhere we don't supposed to be. So he asked the question, how did you get here? Where are you? All of us. That's for all of us. Where are you? Where are you? I like to start off, family, that was a thought that I was gaining before we jump into, again, it fits right in. Abba, y'all know what he's doing. And it wasn't, brother, Abba, yeah, you can believe that. I was tired. But I told Abba, I said, Abba, I'm tired. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So I'm going to beat that flesh down, and I'm going to do your will. So you know your people better than me. You speak to them what they need to hear. Let me be a puppet. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce with the brother that's right here with me, Brother Mariel. Introduce yourself and tell the people about yourself.
Shalom. It's Brother Mariel at the Camp Beth Yahweh. And I'm a servant of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
And I put Yahweh first over everything.
Hallelujah.
And there's a lot of things that Yahweh has been revealing to the brothers on the air. I pray that everybody is listening to the shows that going forth through the air.
Amen.
And continue to make them a part of your life and continue to share what has been going over the airways.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Torah, Aki. Torah. Brother Deuel, you on the line, Brother Aki? You can go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
Shalom, Brother Deuel. I'm one of the teachers here at Beth Yahweh, and you know, I just pray that Abba do his will in our life and my life and our lives. They continue to lead and guide us and reveal his ways and his words upon us. And, you know, we take the time and look back at our lives and learn the things that we need to learn. So, you know, every experience is a learning experience, you know, whether
Hallelujah.
It be good, bad, or indifferent. So, you know, we just got to look and find those breadcrumbs, so to speak, as
yes,
one of our brothers said. Find one of them breadcrumbs, you know, and become better sons and daughters.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you well, I'm glad I got you there, because the first question in the aftermath of marriage, I'm going to go, what is the number one effect on a believer after marriage has been separated? I'll start with you with that question since you're on the line. What is the number one effect that happens? What actually takes place within a believer's life after he has been separated?
Well, the number one effect, the first thing and the biggest thing that you're going to happen, because I am divorced. So the number one thing that you're going to go through and that you will constantly go through is doubt. See, because what you're going to do is you're going to end up going through your life and going through all the ups and the downs and everything, mainly the downs, you know, and say, if I would have did this different, then maybe. It's always the ifs and maybes, you know. And whenever you have ifs and maybes, that's doubt. You know, even though you're analyzing everything and all that, but what we got to understand is even with the mistakes, the Most High is working.
Yeah.
Right? Even with the mistakes, the Most High is working and bringing things out with you, bringing things out of you that he needs to bring out of you to make you a better person, to make you that son or daughter that he needs, right? So you're going to go through the doubts. You're going to say, well, maybe if I was a little kinder, maybe if I was a little sweeter or a little more flexible, or maybe if I wasn't as loud or as arrogant or as this, that, and another. See, but the fact that you're saying these things is the Most High bringing these things up out of you. Because you start to realize, and you're realizing where you went wrong. See, you couldn't see it at the time. And sometimes we do. And let me take that back. You might have seen it at the time. But because you were not, well, I say, and I know in my case, when I was married, I wasn't, I didn't have what they call emotional intelligence, you know, where, you know, emotional intelligence is instead of you reacting off of your emotions, you think and analyze why that emotion is there and if that emotion is beneficial in this situation, you know. So instead of you getting angry at something not going the way you want it, you'll realize, you look at it and say, well, why am I angry? And do I need to be angry now? What benefit is going to come off of that? But unless you go through that, you don't know these things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, unless you go through that, or unless somebody teach you. And that's the one thing we, as young black men, not to harp on these things, but there's a lot of things as young black men we don't know. You know, we're not being taught these things. You know, we don't have the right role model, so to speak, and a lot of times we choose the wrong role models, you know, with the things that attract us. But getting back on the question you asked me, what you're going to go through is doubt. And that's the one thing that you have to learn to battle, because when you first go through it, it's there, and then you might have think you conquered it, but it comes back. And it comes back. Satan don't let it go, man. Satan, Satan is
That's
on
right.
his job, and he is going to whisper in your ear every chance he gets. to bring those ideas and bring those feelings up, you know, and try to cause you to doubt, you know. But all glory to the Most High, you know, because he's allowing these things, and he's actually teaching you how to fight. If you sit back and look, and you know, and that it takes growth, you know.
Amen.
But the worst effect is doubt, because nobody gets married to get divorced.
Amen. That's right.
I haven't met a person yet that got married just to get divorced. The whole purpose was to be divorced. You know, when you go into the marriage, you looking to be with this person forever. That's the love of your life. And, you know, you can't imagine yourself without them, you know. So you don't want it to end. So, but doubt is what comes up, man.
Amen. Amen. Toda Aki. Toda. You was finished? Was you finished? You had something else?
Yes, sir. No, I was finished.
Okay. All right. Moray, Maria.
Yeah, the first thing come to mind in the trauma for me was basically blaming yourself. And most likely it's like the brother just said, you don't want get married, you get the voice. And I'm one of the person that said at one time, I'm not getting married to get a divorce, so I would never issue to get a divorce. Somebody have to, like, basically what happened, had to divorce me.
Right.
And I went through a patch of blaming myself.
Mm-hmm.
And blaming yourself beat you down, and you go through different states of blaming yourself. I could have, like the brother said, I could have did this, I could have did that. But once you start asking for help and healing from the Most High, he start revealing things that, no, you could have did this. I was in your life on this part. I was in your life in this part. This way you went wrong at. He's showing you through the marriage of actually where you could have made the right decisions, but you make the decisions yourself, because sometimes you put yourself in it.
Amen.
And the Most High don't want you to go that way, so you go that way. So certain things that in a marriage, you have to learn those lessons. And the lesson is not only for you, but it's also for your spouse also.
Yes.
So the healing part for is bringing everything to Most High, and he show you that it's an experience during the trauma times for your learning experience for both parties. And that's one of the things that happened to me. I was beating myself up, and I really didn't want to get, like, I didn't want. The one statement I always say is man creates his own conditions. And what I was trying to do, I created these conditions, but man cannot fix these positions. The Most High can only fix these positions. And he had this, I had to learn to pray and wait on the Most High to heal me in the situation that I was in during the trauma times that I went through.
Amen. Hallelujah. So in other words, some sort of depression sets in.
Yes. It's like, yeah, and you go through that blame game as well as me. And as a believer, you don't supposed to be in that type of state. So the only one can get you out that state is the Creator.
Amen.
Yah can only one can get you out that, you know, and he will walk you and guide you through it so you can come out of it. But the thing about it, like you said in the scriptures, Father, you got to hear his voice so he can bring you out of it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Toda, but you said something that you don't suppose to go through that. But when we take an account of Job's life, right, and if I was just becoming a believer and I read Job, I would shut that book and walk away, right? Because, hey, this man had everything. And the scripture said he was righteous, right? And the scripture said that he shewed evil. And when I started reading it, what happened in the brother's life, how he lost his family, lost his kids, he lost all his possessions, I'm shutting the book up. Because in my mind, in my understanding of what the Creator is love. So he loved peace, joy, happiness. That's all I've been taught my whole life. So I'm reading Job, and I'm not thinking about trauma. I'm not thinking about depression. I'm not thinking about everyday life situations and still being a believer. So that's the thing I got out of what you and Daniel said, is saying the experiences of just living this life. But you're a believer. as the scripture says, that still small voice. You had something to fall back on.
Hallelujah.
That's where the world, if depression come on someone in the world, 9 times out of 10, they're going to need medicine. 9 times out of 10, they may be hospitalized. 9 times out of 10, they might not never come out of that. Because one of our forefathers, David, was depressed. He went through a bout of depression, right? And so on that went through a bout of depression. But because they heard that still small voice, that still small voice, the wind came. The earthquake came. The fire came. All these things came. But they heard that still small voice. And that is the only way we get directed out of that depression we in. We have to hear, and we have to adhere to it and have to abide by it. Have to abide by it. And what was one of the ways that when depression set in, how did you know you was in? And we off the script. We moving as Yahweh move.
Yeah, it's basically when you like down, mm-hmm. and you just want like be by yourself. You don't even want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You want like hold it in. And the thing that you're saying, like the more you hold in, it's like something dark come over you.
Yes,
and you just
yes,
want to be by yourself, and you just mm-hmm. don't want to bother nobody. You don't want to talk to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, that's the opposite what Yahweh wants you to do.
Yes.
Yahweh wants you to open up. He wants you to talk to somebody. He wants
that's
you
right.
to get that counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
when he reveals like who you need to talk to
mm-hmm.
to get that, to remove, like you said, them demons and
mm-hmm.
that unclean spirit, because the depression is an unclean spirit.
Yes, it is.
And that unclean spirit comes upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need prayer, and you're going to need healing to get it off of you.
Mm-hmm.
So he has people in place that you can go to
Amen.
To remove that depression off of you.
That's
because
right.
there ain't nothing, like you said, it ain't nothing but a spirit.
That's right.
Depression is a spirit.
That's right.
You know, so
that's
when
right.
it comes down and you be in that sinking place,
mm-hmm.
and only Yah can get you up out of that
dirty
place.
That's it.
And that's who you have to call on and rely and ask for comfort and ask for healing from the Most High.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aki, there you are. Moray, there you are. How did you realize, or when did you realize that you was in a depression? Because it's not just recognizable like that. It's not just easily understood. I know some people go years with in dealing with a bout of depression and don't understand that they in it. How did you recognize it, Aki? Moray, there you are when you're ready. Well, we'll move on to the second. When the brother gets back, we'll chime him back in. The healing process, this is another question that we had down here. How hard was it and how long was it, Moray?
The healing process.
How long and how hard was it?
It was hard, but it wasn't as long as you would. It wasn't long for me
mm-hmm.
because other like I wasn't married for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and me personally, it's like it's what you love,
right?
You know, and that plays a major role.
Amen.
And it's like if you love a person 100%, it's going to be longer. If you
mm-hmm.
love a person short period of time, it's going to be shorter. And by me not being married for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
it was the healing was like not that severe.
Amen.
It was more easier for me because
mm-hmm.
what the Most High showed me after the marriage,
mm-hmm.
I should have caught it a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to know the person. So when you're married to someone and
mm-hmm.
you're not married for a long time and you really didn't get to know them,
mm-hmm.
it's the love factor. And I always would say, if you don't love a person,
mm-hmm.
don't marry a person.
Right.
So
right.
the thing about it is being loved
mm-hmm.
by, you know, in that category of love,
mm-hmm.
it's more or less like I was more upset with myself for letting the Creator down
uh-huh.
because I made that covenant with Him.
Amen.
And when I broke when the covenant got broken,
mm-hmm.
I was more beating myself up on it for the simple fact that I got married not to get a divorce.
Amen.
And when I had the divorce, I felt that I let the Creator down,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and then that's when He started showing me the things going through, you know, going through some of the things of the Word,
mm-hmm.
Before you get to that real depression time, He has showed me that, nah, I'm a part of this. I'm still in this. Even though you made this mistake, I'm going to make it right.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
So, yeah, amen. During that point in time, it wasn't, like, hard for the, you know, at the beginning part. But
mm-hmm.
the beginning part is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Because you being that, like, hey, I'm like, I didn't want to get married because, like
mm-hmm.
I said, I didn't want to get married
mm-hmm.
to get no divorce
because mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have never got married.
Right.
And
right.
that was the hard part.
Right.
Because I'm letting, like I said earlier, I let the Creator down.
Amen.
You know, because he, when I married, because I got married under the banner of Yahweh and Yahushua. Yeah. I got laid over there. They were the two witnesses.
Amen.
And for
Amen.
The let my father down, it hurted me.
Amen.
So I went through a lot of stuff because of what I did for the what I did against the Creator.
Amen.
And he had to reveal it to me and like, nah,
mm-hmm.
I'm good with it.
Amen.
You know, I had to make it right with my father.
Amen. Amen. So you had a righteous sorrow.
Hallelujah.
You know, because a righteous sorrow when you know and understand that you let Abba down is different than letting someone else down. And that goes on the relationship that you have with the Father.
Yes.
Right. So I understand, Todaaki. I understand that. This might ask a question. Again, family, if you have a comment or a question, you can always chime in. We open here today. We're still waiting for Brother Diggy Well to come back in. Okay. Did you remember the question that I asked, Aki?
Yeah, about the depression. Well, for me, one, I dealt with depression for a long time. You know, from the time
mm-hmm.
I was a kid, I was dealing with depression. So
mm-hmm.
it's easy for me to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
But this was kind of different because the amount of love I had for my wife. You know,
mm-hmm.
you losing somebody that's real precious to you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
think about something that you have or your most prized thing, something
yes.
that you love beyond measure. And
mm-hmm.
you had it,
mm-hmm.
but then you messed up and you can't have it no more. It's not gone
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. It's just that you
right.
can't have this anymore. No matter
mm-hmm.
what you do, it's walking around, it's living its life. You know,
mm-hmm.
in her case,
mm-hmm.
she walking around, she living her life without me.
Yes.
And I'm home where I used to come in the house and it was family there. My son would
mm-hmm.
greet me. I could kiss
mm-hmm.
my wife. I could
mm-hmm.
hug my other son, you know. Now I'm coming home to four walls, and
yes.
nothing there. It's just me. You go through that, and you go through that, and you go through that, and you do a lot of crying. In
mm-hmm.
my case, I did a lot of drinking, you know,
mm-hmm.
drinking, and after a while, that don't help. You know, you drink
right.
until it's numb, and
mm-hmm.
alcohol don't taste good. Anymore, you can't drink anymore, you know, you
mm-hmm.
can't really cry, so you know, you can't cry enough when you out of tears,
mm-hmm.
you know, so
mm-hmm.
you have to go through it. See, but it's just like what Mario said, you have
mm-hmm.
to go through these things,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
there's no way that you're going to get over it if you don't go through it, you know, you have to face these things, and Abba needs us to face these things, you know, it's
yeah.
not turn and run. Mm-hmm. Because turning and run from it and not talking about it and this, that, and another,
mm-hmm.
you know, I called the various brothers, called
yeah.
a Harbell,
mm-hmm.
especially a Harbell, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's what I call in my mirror. We went through a lot of similar things, you know,
that's
and
right.
I talked to him, you know, I talked to Mario. So that's how you get these things, Jaquel. I talked to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but you have to do that. You have to open up because, like the brother said, that depression is a spirit, and it's a spirit
yeah.
of isolation. That's the thing. That's what it wants to do. It wants to isolate you. It wants to separate you from everybody. That way it can have its way with you. So
yes, indeed.
The worst thing that you can do if you're depressed is be by yourself and try to fight it on your own. You know, you call in, you call, don't play to these demon strengths. You know,
yes.
You have to play to the strength of your strength. I would say it's strength in his numbers.
Amen.
Let the sheep stay
Amen.
Together. You know,
Amen.
Let the sheep stay together and let the shepherd protect the sheep. That's our
Amen.
Plan, you know. That's our game plan. But you don't want to play to demon strengths, you know, because, you know,
that right there, our kid. Sorry to cut you off, though. But that's a powerful statement. Explain that. Open that up so that people can truly understand, and we can understand that, playing to their strengths. Open that up for us.
It's man, look, we at war. It's like you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
America, when they fought Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
they knew if they brought soldiers in on that ground, they would die.
Mm-hmm.
Why? They didn't know nothing about the land. They didn't know nothing
mm-hmm.
about the traps and this, that, and another. And that was the strength of the Viet Cong. So, no,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to bring a whole bunch of soldiers in on the ground. What are we going to do? We're going to fly planes over there and drop bombs on everything.
Right. Right.
That way we save our troops, and we're not playing
mm-hmm.
into your strengths. Well, it's no
mm-hmm.
different than
right.
the demonic world, you know. Each mm-hmm. one of these types of demons has a strength, you know. Just like each
yep.
type of person that you encounter within this world has type of strength. You have a strength, you know.
That's
some
right.
of us,
right.
some of our strengths are drawing, or we're good with words, or
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We know
mm-hmm.
our different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Well, demons know their strengths
mm-hmm.
too. You know,
yeah.
so we have to realize these things. That's what's going on with us. If we know
mm-hmm.
that this thing wants to isolate us,
mm-hmm.
right? Why
yeah.
would we play into that? If you know, and you know a demonic spirit is on you, nah, I don't want to talk to nobody. But wait a minute, I talk mm-hmm. to people all the time. Why
right.
I don't want to talk to nobody now?
Right.
See, that's what that
right.
demon wants you to do. So we had
right.
to realize these things as we go. Wait a minute, hold up. Wait a minute. I know I'm on a diet. Why
mm-hmm.
I'm getting these cravings now? You know,
because
you're gonna break your diet. That's what that
mm-hmm.
demon wants you
mm-hmm.
to do. And you know, we using
mm-hmm.
these things. Anything that tries that's like the brother said. Was talking about standing on that rock and being stable. Anything that's trying to knock you off of that stability is demonic.
Yeah.
Yahushua
Amen.
Ain't trying to knock you off of himself.
No.
He's not trying
no.
to knock. He's not wiggling all around and trying to get you unstable. No, that's the enemy. So anything
mm-hmm.
that's trying to get you unstable, we have to
mm-hmm.
realize and recognize these things and not play into those strengths. So after dealing with depression for a while,
mm-hmm.
I know not to be by myself. I know not to isolate myself. I know not to drink too much, because once one come, here comes another one to compound it. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's when a spirit.
But they don't fight fast. They don't fight fast.
Right. And Yahushua tells us that. A spirit get kicked out
mm-hmm.
the house. Found that house, he go get seven more that's more wicked
mm-hmm.
than him and come right back
that's
to
right.
the house. That's what
that's
he said.
Right.
They bank you. So you got
that's,
the one
mm-hmm.
you got the one spirit trying to isolate you. Now you got another
mm-hmm.
spirit that's going to bring the drink, which is going to isolate
mm-hmm.
you even more because you didn't found your friend in the bottle.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And now you got all these new thoughts coming because that bottle, that inhibitor, then came, and now here come the whispers. The whispers getting louder. You know you was a bad husband. You know this, that, another. And then
mm-hmm.
here come the music. All the types of music comes on
mm-hmm.
that bring the tears to your eyes and get you, oh, I love, man. I went through it. Certain songs I just couldn't hear. I would just be bawling, thinking about
mm-hmm.
her. Man, I was crying. I was whining and crying, slobbering and everything. You
Amen.
Know, but this is
mm-hmm.
what's happening to you because those demons
yeah.
are piling over you. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's one after
yeah.
another after another. You don't get no time out.
No.
So you better
no.
go here and you better call for help.
That's right. That's right.
You better call for help or else you'll
mm-hmm.
find yourself because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
ultimately they're trying to kill you.
Amen.
Ultimately, that's what they're trying to do.
Say it again, Aki. That's what that is their goal. That is their,
that's their
goal is to kill you. To if you die in that sin, then they know they did their job.
Man.
Not just to kill you, but they don't want you to have salvation.
Right.
They want your salvation taken from you. They want
that's
you
what
in
they
the
want.
Same boat that they in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
that's exactly what they want.
A constant bombarding. I remember that you had a dream about me years ago, and you came to me and you told me the dream. You said that I was fighting, and I was fighting a lot of people, and it was like they was banking me, the exact thing you just said, but you said I wasn't fighting back. You said, and you standing there, Ariel, fight back, because you couldn't get to me to help me, and I wouldn't come to you for help. And that was a dream that you had about, it was
mm-hmm.
about 8-9 years ago. You told me that.
No, longer
that
than
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was longer than
that. My guard was down. I wasn't fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what y'all bringing to the understanding, and I'm hoping and praying that people understand that it is a spiritual war that we're in.
Mm-hmm. See, but that's what those demons want to do. They want to get you to the point where you don't fight back. See, because
mm-hmm.
as long as they're kicking and pounding on you, and think about a boxing match.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Ali, rope-a-dope,
all right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it's an even better one. I forgot
mm-hmm.
who he was fighting, but he was working
mm-hmm.
his jab so much, and then he was banging them with the 1-2, to the point
mm-hmm.
where a guy didn't throw punches back. All he did was balled up and covered. You
right.
can't win
right.
a fight if you don't punch back. You know,
no.
and that's the whole point of boxing. I'm going to hit you so much, I'm going to pound you and keep on pounding you and hit you until you go down, until you can't fight back. And you because any sport is a battle of wills, just like any fight. It ain't about winning or losing. It's about
mm-hmm.
taking that person's will to fight you
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
If you can conquer that, you ain't got to ever worry about fighting this person again. He don't want to fight you. He don't want no smoke.
Amen.
He don't want to fight back. I don't have the will. I don't believe I can win. I know I can't win. You didn't defeat him already.
Right.
You didn't defeat him already. So think about that. That's what these demons want us to do. I know we can. Think about Job. I know
mm-hmm.
I can get Job to curse you to the face.
Right.
That's what
right.
that's what he said. I know
mm-hmm.
I can get him to do that. If you do,
mm-hmm.
you allow me to do this, you allow me to do that. He was trying to break Job's will.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And at first his will was strong, but we know the story. He got into his
mm-hmm.
depression. And we
yeah.
read about
yes,
Job's depression and this, that, and
mm-hmm.
another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately it was to bring it out. But that's what they want to do. They want to break our will. Because if
Amen.
They break our will
Amen.
To fight, that's why it's so important to have brothers. Because if my spirit
yeah.
is broken,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
if my spirit is broken,
mm-hmm.
I can depend on my brother to pick me up.
That's right. That's right.
You know. But, yeah, that depression is rough. It's real rough.
It is. And it's silent. It's silent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could actually function in that. You could actually go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually be around people, and nobody would never know.
That's right.
I mean, Yahweh will give a person the discerning spirit, but if you're around people who don't have that spirit, they would never figure it out. They would never know.
Yep.
And if Yahweh don't put that person on your heart and then put it in your mind to check on a person, to call a person, that you would never know that a person is depressed around you. You would never know what they're going through if they
mm-hmm.
don't share. If they don't share. And real quick, what was this? Day before yesterday, my spirit was in disarray. And it was in disarray, and I was so heavy driving to work, so angry, so messed up, and so in the fog driving to work. I almost had like 2 accidents. People don't know because my mind was in a disarray. And it wasn't until put in Rabbi's priesthood, and I started listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had to text the brother and tell him, thank you for having the spirit of Yahweh on you, because my spirit, as soon as I start listening to the priesthood, I feel a heaviness lift off me. I feel a joy within my own spirit. And Yahweh put in my mind, is like, it matters who we listen to. It matters who we are listening to. You have to listen to someone with the spirit, with the Ruach HaKodesh. If not, you won't get that demon to move. He only answers to Yahushua HaMashiach and who Yahushua HaMashiach give the power to. That's it. Everybody else, he'll move to the side, but he ain't going nowhere. He ain't coming off you. Your spirit will not feel a lightness in it. A likeness, and I just wanted to let the people know, be careful in what you are listening to. Be careful, because just like the spirit of Yahweh will lift me, Hallel will come to you, and he'll do the exact same thing for you, but it won't be what Yahushua do for you, because it will come back. It will come back. It will come back. Let's talk about how does it affect the children. How does the divorce affect the children? Because we know it don't just affect us as men. It affects the women too. It affects the children too. It's a total. It catches everybody. The best word I can use. It don't just catch the man. It don't just catch the woman. If they have children, it catches them too. So that is another added burden on the man and on the woman, because they know they still have to care for the child's well-being and their spiritual health. Talk about that. Anybody?
Hey, Brother Marial, as far as kids, when I was married, I didn't have no kids, you know, by my spouse. So by me not having no kids, you know, it wasn't one of those things that, you know, my kids was really infected with, or her kids. It's more or less like it's the kid that you're living with will have the effect.
Yeah.
And I was living with my wife, and she did have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I just goes on what affected her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm more or less like was in her life,
mm-hmm.
you know, as her being a believer also.
Amen.
But it also, in my marriage, it affected my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have all your kids in one household,
right,
and learning
right.
the same thing,
right,
you got confusion.
Yes.
And you had one kid over here learning the ways of the Most High, and then you had the other kid that's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an incident that actually came up. And
mm-hmm.
it was, because I really didn't open up to tell a lot of things
mm-hmm.
what I'm about to say.
Amen.
And it was a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And also it was like affected my kid
mm-hmm.
because I have a 21-year-old, and
mm-hmm.
at her age of 14, her mother was passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a conversation with my wife.
Right.
And I asked her, is it my daughter mother is about to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for me, for my daughter to live in my house?
Mm-hmm.
My wife, and we supposed to be a union set,
mm-hmm.
she don't think that was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the person that I married.
Right, right.
So I was looking at it like you're saying, I'm accepting your kid
mm-hmm.
as my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you accept my daughter as your daughter.
Right.
Because she is losing a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're supposed to step in and be a mother figure to my kid. Because
That's right.
If we as one, like the Messiah said, Yah and them as one.
Right.
When
I
merge you, we are one.
That's right.
So if we're not on one accord, we can't separate your kid as your kid and my kid as my kid. No.
Mm-hmm.
Them kids is together.
Mm-hmm.
They supposed your kid is supposed to be my kid, and your kid is supposed to be my kid.
One friend.
So now it came to a fact that I had to make a decision, but I have been married.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision I had to make is to wait on Yahweh.
Amen.
Because once you said on any error, like you rejected my kid when she needed a mother at that time, a man would have just wired up and rolled out like, whoa, you accepted my kid?
Right.
I ain't going. What I did is I prayed to the Most High and said, what do you want me to do in this situation?
That's right.
So when he stepped in, he allowed me, you know, he allowed a divorce to come on.
Right,
but I didn't do the separation.
Mm-hmm.
She did the separation because, I said earlier that I didn't get married to get a divorce.
Right,
I was
willing
to work it out for the simple fact that we weren't there long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see some red lights and red flags come on, don't ignore those.
Right.
Don't ignore those red flags.
That's right.
Because the thing about it is now I'm looking at it, I met her in February, and I got married in June.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't even about 6 months yet.
Right.
So the thing about it was like, I married you, and during the process, we're learning each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still the learning stage because it's like fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So when it got down to that part, it was like, oh, well, wait a minute. You're not accepting my daughter, and I'm taking your daughter here, I'm taking you there, and I'm taking that, you know,
you're stepping in the role.
So I'm staying away from my kid because I also had, like, a 8-year-old, and I wasn't in her life, and I wasn't doing the duty of a father for my own kids, so I was separating myself from my kids, but by being married, they supposed to have been together.
Yeah,
your kids supposed to be my kid, your kid, it's supposed to be a family thing,
right.
We didn't have a family thing,
right,
you know,
right.
So I prayed to the Most High, and the testimony that the Most High gave me, when I had a divorce, when I got divorced, and the daughter that my wife actually said that couldn't go in the house, I got divorced on March the 26th. That's my daughter's birthday.
Mm.
Why did I got divorced on her birthday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
Amen.
Just,
Amen.
You know.
Amen. And you know what? That's a very unique situation because sometimes as believers, we want the other believer. We want the one that believes the way we believe. But sometimes, like, life experiences will show who relationship is tight with the Most High and who relationship is not and where they are in the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the kid suffers the most.
Yeah.
You know, there's no two ways about that. Normally, you know, when a divorce happens, a kid is a child. Child's kind of young, so they don't know, and they just, you know, they wondering where their parent is. You know, that's what they're wondering. So what ends up happening is, you know, your child looking for you and this, that, and another. They got all these questions. You don't get to see them as much. And all that has an effect on the child. So a lot of times they end up blaming the parent. You know, the relationship with one of the parents is, it changes. You know, they might say, you know, you went away, or they might say to the parent, you pushed them away, where either way, the relationship is going to change.
Yeah.
You know, with my son, he's a little bit older now, and he's lashing out. You know, Darius lashes out, and him and his mother go at it. You know, it's like she's looking in the mirror. You know, because he don't back down, she don't back down. So they always, they at it, you know. And it's just real frustrating for the child because it's like, and you know, it's they lost time with their parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They lost that. That's the biggest thing. They lost time with their parent. The stability and the stuff that they knew is now gone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the type of marriage you had, because that's a really, really big thing. You know, whether you marry a believer or whether you marry someone who isn't a believer, you know, that plays a big part. Because now where a lot of things might not have been going on in the house, like if you married a believer, it might not be Christmas. Kid don't know nothing about Christmas. Kid don't know nothing about Easter. But now all of a sudden, since they not together no more, you know, now Christmas is being celebrated. Easter is being celebrated. All these pagan things are being celebrated, and the kid got to wonder, you know, your child wondering about these things. So it's it's a whole bunch of necessities, a whole bunch of crap you ain't got to go through if y'all would have just stayed together and worked it out and continue to love. And let your heart not be so hard, you know, because in the end of the day, that's why divorce happens. Somebody's heart got hard.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Man.
But the kid goes through it the worst. You know, they suffer the most. Because it's like, you know, y'all made this child together, and now it's just one parent with the child. And they like, well, where my other half? Where my other half at? So, yeah, that's all
and
I got to say on that. They hurt the most.
Yeah, yeah. And that not just with marriage. That goes even with good relationships or long-term relationships when you have kids together and separation come about. You know, because I look at my kids, you know, my oldest, Shawnee will say because I left her at 8 years old, which I didn't leave, her mother left, but a separation took place either way, right? And she will say she has certain characteristics now because daddy wasn't there, you know? And even daddy was around the corner, daddy still got him each and every weekend, daddy still was at every game, daddy was at every school play, daddy was there. But it's a difference when daddy is not in that home. It's a big difference when daddy is not in that home. A big difference. And those whispers, those little voices, they come. And it compounds on the children. It dumps on the children like the scripture talks about a frog that leaps. And that's how it happens to them. And they grow up with these things. And today, me and my oldest will talk about she went through childhood trauma. And me on the outside saying, how? What happened? Because you wasn't in the house. When sometimes tongue lashings came in, you weren't that buffer. There, you want the buffer there. You usually the buffer when things come, right? When arguments come and time to discipline the child, you usually the one that came in and you buffered those things, you know. But on the heels of that, you said something about divorce, and we just skipped that whole question. How does it just end up like that? How does people just come to that part of just making that decision to divorce? What happens?
You lose the ability to forgive. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead. You're good. You're good.
You lose the ability to forgive. At the end of the day, if you say irreconcilable differences, right, especially in my case, you know, I spent half my life, basically, with my ex-wife. You know, we was together for like 20 years. We was married for like 11 or 12, something like that. and we've been through everything. Now, I'm not saying, you know, F. Yahweh know my story. I was an abusive man. I was verbally abusive, physically abusive, mentally abusive. You know, I put my ex-wife through a whole lot. And a whole lot of undeserving things. And I'm not saying that she's perfect, but a lot of the fault lies with me. And I can accept my fault, you know. But when it says, when the words, when you say irreconcilable differences, or I don't love you no more, or I don't want to be with you no more, or I don't, whatever reason for the for a divorce, it just means you have lost the ability to forgive them. Get that the straw broke the camel's back, so to speak. You know,
amen.
Your heart then got so hard. I didn't did this, and you did this back in this time. And what about this time? And what about that? No, I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing I'm sorry. What do you mean? That means you're not going to forgive them anymore. That means your heart then got hard. You know. That means your heart has hardened to the point where, no, I'm not accepting your apologies no more. No, I didn't heard it all. I didn't seen it all. I didn't did this. But our heart's not supposed to get hard. Because the same way that I'm asking for forgiveness from you, you need to ask for forgiveness from me too. You know? There is no perfect union outside of Yahushua and Yah, outside of
Amen.
Them. They're the perfect union. Everything, all of us, we are born imperfect.
That's right.
So we'll never
right.
have a perfect union, you
that's
know?
Right.
But we have to, that's why you say, don't harden your heart. Do not harden
Amen.
Your heart.
Amen.
You know, nothing good comes from a hard heart, nothing. You know, nothing good comes from a hard heart. And that's why the divorce comes. And that's why people don't stay together. You know, because at the end of the day, that's the reason.
Yes.
That is the reason. They did something I didn't like, and I can't forgive them for it. That's the reason. For any divorce, for any separation, that just means your heart is hard. You didn't harden your heart. You know, because we have these sayings, you never get a first chance, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Well, that means whatever my first impression is, you ain't going to give me a second chance if I messed up the first time. That means your heart's hard.
Right.
You know, we have these sayings that just tells people we're not going to forgive. You just stuck wherever you at. Closed mouth, don't give fit. You're right. You ain't going to give me a chance to open my mouth? You just going to let me starve? That means your heart hard. You know, you got to make things right. You're not trying to make things right, you know? And that's why any separation happens.
Amen. Amen. Toda Aki. Maria?
What I would say is basic communication. When there's no, when it's no more communication in the relationship, you know, when you come home from work, if she's not speaking, you're not speaking, she goes straight up to her room, and you go, and something that the word says, when you do have a problem, you know, you're supposed to have settled that before the sunset.
Right, right.
You know, as us being believers, we don't act, we read the word, but we actually don't do the word. You know, I fall short of myself.
Amen.
It's like you're supposed to handle these problems before the sun sets. But what we do, we hold these problems in. So what we do, we hold them in for weeks and weeks. And like you say, it's like a cancer. It grows and it grows.
That's right.
So the
thing about
it, since you're not speaking to me, and I'm not speaking to you, nobody don't wants to be the bigger person. So what happened, like I said, it grows and it grows. And it's like that communication stops. And then you get to the point that your only communication can communicate when it's something that you need from the other person.
Right.
I mean, that you'll go back to being who you was. Mm-hmm. You know, so mm-hmm. a lack of communication is will actually separate a person.
Amen.
You know, because communication is the key.
That's
if
right.
You can't communicate with your spouse. You really can't communicate with nobody mm-hmm. because you have to look at your wife as being a church of the Messiah.
That's
you,
right.
She's supposed to look at you like you, Yahshua,
Amen.
The man of the house.
Amen.
But most of the times what it is with the man and the woman, and I'm not going to stay on this too long, because the thing about it is, like, with a man, you'll sit up and say the man is the king of the castle, and he's the man, head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, you want to hold on to the power.
Right.
So the thing about it is, okay, the man is the head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the scripture basically say he has the last say, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it, like we've seen in the story for Abraham, okay, Sarah can come and tell to her husband exactly what to do, and the Most High going to envy him, like, listen to your husband. That's why those scriptures have been there.
Right.
They come in and, like, a man is not the, like, overseer like that.
Right.
We already know Yeshua is the overseer, but the thing about it, she can come make decisions and tell her, yeah, I need you to do this, and the man can look like, you're absolutely right. He ain't like, I need you to do this, I need you to do that.
Right,
no, that's not the household.
He's not in the
you got to be, no, that's right. You're supposed to be on one accord.
Right.
So
right.
sometimes in being a believer or a non-believer, when mm-hmm. somebody comes today, you already in your feelings, not wanting to actually say, I want to be, like what most of the people saying, I want you to come to me with a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to a person with a problem, do they actually want to accept your answer?
Right.
Because
right.
that'd be the problem. Is that, like I go back and say, it's communication.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's based on
right.
that, the lack of communication. And once the communication gone, the relationship is basically gone.
Yes.
You know, because y'all not on one accord.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Amen. Amen. And with both of y'all thoughts, it once the communication is gone, is because something has preceded that, the hardness of the heart, as the brother put up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing. Before you get to that end part to say, all right, I'm going to sign this line, we divorce, and we go our separate ways, there's some building up of this hardness. That, and as believers, it shouldn't happen, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
It did. And as y'all been bringing out all night, it's about the experiences, right? So it's about how we learn, how we grow, how your situation will be able to help another young couple.
Mm-hmm.
How you be able to sit them down and counsel them because you have been through some things.
Mm-hmm.
How with Deuel, he had been through some things. How now Abba have used your lives mm-hmm. to be experiences for everybody else. And you know what, family? That's scripture. Because he used Moshe's life to be an experience to everybody else. He used Job's life to be experienced to everybody else. He used David losing a child to be experienced to everybody else. And these, if we believe, they are real people. These are real stories. If we believe it, they are not abstract. They are concrete. So all these people's lives, and we read about on a weekly, daily, we have to take and understand that they are reality. They are real lives. But when we in the mix, just like when we talked about Brother Eliyahu, he was in the mix. Gone. He didn't understand the wind. He didn't understand the commotions in his life. He didn't understand the whispers. He didn't understand the instability. He didn't understand his own passions, his own anxieties. He didn't understand it. We at times don't understand these things when we in the mix. When we're going through, as believers, our lives, as we are put on display for the rest of the world all the time. Now, for some of us, it's hard to accept that. It's hard to accept that our lives will be on display for the rest of the world to learn, an example, to learn all for him. And I'm hoping and praying that the family that people are getting the therapy from these brothers' lives. Because we not just hearing it, this is therapy that the brothers are giving. I'm quite sure out there in the listening land that a lot of us been through that. A lot of us have been in relationships and heard what these brothers say and can relate to. I love what Abba have done with these two brothers tonight because it's therapy. The word is therapy, And the bottom line, what we're trying to bring out, again, is healing. We're not going to stay on here too long all night. If nobody wants to call in and if you don't have a question, and if you, and nobody has any question, you know, but the hope is let's heal. Let's heal together. Let's bring this family network. Let's bring it stronger. And I'm going to give each of the brothers, if nobody don't chime in or say anything, a closing statement, and we're going to use the prayers and go on out. Brother Maria.
Well, one thing that I want to leave everybody as far as what I have learned from being married and being divorced is one of the things that Abba showed me and actually talked to me about and let me know exactly what I have to do. I have to be a better communicator myself in the next relationship that he blessed me with. I have to be not passive as I was in the last relationship, and I have to be open-minded. I have to talk these things. So most of the things that I talked about is I was actually talking about myself and my experience that what I learned in the last relationship, so I can be a better husband for someone that the Most High will allow me to receive to be a better person than I was, because one of the experiences that I learned is about growing and understanding how much do you actually love the Father, because we have to look at, like I said earlier, about looking at your wife as being at church. And he said the Messiah looks at us as being at church also, and he's love us. So I have to be more like loving and more care, more patience. And the, like the word says about those fruit of spirit, I have to replace those fruits of the spirit. And one of the things that I learned about the fruit of spirit, you got to start with yourself, self-control first.
Amen.
You got to work on yourself before you can present yourself to anybody else that reach up to that word called love.
Amen.
You know, all of them is love, but love is the ultimate. And when you reach that love, you have reached out for sure.
Hallelujah.
You know, so that's
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Daniel?
Hello?
Yes. Any closing remarks?
I think Mario said it all, man. You know, and just in life, just you know, reflect upon the things that you are learning. And if you're not learning about yourself, then you're missing the point. You know, if you're not working to make you a better person, you're missing the point. You know, because one thing, you know, our brother constantly says, you can't control nobody else. You only have control over you. You know, you can't make nobody else better, but you can make you better.
That's
so it's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's about you and you know, your experience and your relationship with the Most High and everything. And, you know, and don't get married before you're ready. You know, a lot of times we want something that we're not ready for, to be honest. You know, don't rush into nothing. You know, it's do things for the right reason. You know, so it's you know, a lot of things, you know, take your time. You know, that's all we're doing is living. You know, that's all we got to do in this world is live. So take your time. You know, take your time and learn. Learn you.
Hallelujah.
And,
that's,
you know,
right.
When
Hallelujah.
You go make that decision, understand that it's forever and work for forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put out. We got Brother Ivy. He wants to chime in.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, you win, brother.
Everyone hearing?
Shalom.
All right.
Yes.
Shabbat shalom, family.
Shabbat
what an
shalom.
Awesome, powerful. Awesome, powerful presentation. This is going so awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to go back to something that was said earlier in the broadcast about the power of speaking to the more, you know, reaching out to someone when you're depressed. You know, I'm going to go back to the depression aspect of it. And now this doesn't directly correlate with what we're talking about, I guess, but as far as the aspect of reach out to a brother or a sister, reach out when you're depressed. Because I was in I was in a depression just before I came back to Beth Yahweh. It was like a, a two-year depression where I got hit three powerful times, three powerful depressions in a two-year period. And because I was with Beth Yahweh, me and my family, and then we left. And then I left. My personal reasons for leaving had to do with, you know, me not being emotionally and spiritually set to be in that house. I had to leave. You know, I didn't want to bring that energy, if you will, up in the camp. I wasn't ready, so I left. And and while I was away for 3 years, Cohen Yarael was the one who Yahweh spoke through to me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And from time to time, he would just send me a random text, you know, praising Yah and, you know, wanting to know how a brother's doing. And often it would be at a perfect time that I needed to hear that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that kept me with my intention when I left. I had intention to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That kept me adhering to my intention that he would hit me up every now and again, you know. Every now and again I would call him. Every now and again I would text him when something, you know, when it got really rough. But then one night on that last depression, in that last depression, I was in the house by myself, and I called a brother. I called Yarael, and he spoke to me, and I mean, I must have filled up I don't know, 3 ounces of a container of tears and whatnot. And now it didn't have to do with a divorce, you know, or anything like that. But there was a little bit of that in it, you know, there was a little bit of that subject in my depression. There was a little bit of that. And so what I'm saying is what the Moray are saying, you know, what they're saying as far as don't be alone. Call your family. Call on your family.
Amen.
Do that.
Amen.
And that's the only, I mean, I didn't call my family, you know, my biological family. I called I called Beth Yahweh family. I called Yarael. I called Yahushua. You know?
Hallelujah.
And and now I'm here, you know, and as far as I can see, all is well, you know.
Hallelujah.
So, call on the family. Call on the family. You know, when you're depressed, call on the family before you get depressed. Let's always stay in communication. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Amen.
Todah,
thank you, brother. Thank you for that testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, again, family, hoping and praying that at your time that you are ready to open up. At your time, as the testimonies came out tonight, that spirit wants to isolate you. It wants to get you alone. It don't want you to reach out. It don't want you to go down and dig up that stuff that's hurting. It ain't just got to be about marriage. We talking about anything across the board that's deep down that has put any type of depression on you, that put any type of mental illness, any type of spiritual possession, any type of childhood abuse. We trying to reach down and pull all this out. Anything. The demons don't want us to reach out. And as I had a conversation with my youngest daughter, because she had been through a trauma, and every time she gets to talk about the trauma, it hurts. It bothers her. So she pushed the trauma back down. And she does something else so she don't have to relive that trauma. And for us to move on, to move past it, we're going to have to dig down and fight that trauma head on. We're going to have to. We're going to have to confront that trauma. Because if not, it's going to go with us for the rest of our lives. And there will be trigger moments, as my daughter had trigger moments, that it comes rushing back. And she's back into a state of depression. So we have to fight these things head on. And we don't have to fight alone. Because just like that brother thought he left, but Abba Yah had the reverence to call him every now and then. Abba Yah put that in the reverence spirit. Call him. Reach out to him. Let him know that he ain't out there alone. Let him know that I'm still thinking about him, that I'm still waiting for him to return. And thank the reverence. Thank Brother Yahweh Yah for being obedient.
Hallelujah.
To listening to that voice, that small, still voice, and reaching out to him and calling him. Helping him, because unknown to you, Brother Ivy, he was helping you fight those demons, and he wasn't even or had to be in your presence because he had the Ruach HaKodesh on him. He had the spirit of Yahushua on him. Just like the man came and said, you don't have to come to my house. I know that you have the power to just say a word, and my daughter, my child will be okay. That resides on all of Yahushua's children. And that's proof pudding right there, that he don't have to be in your presence. He just lets you know you're on my mind. So call him, son. Reach out to him. Family, it's about healing. It's about this therapy. It's about letting go and let Yah be who he is. As the brother have coined patent that too, D.U.L., I will do what he do. We're going to take it from him. We're going to take it from him. And that's going to be the end, not unless we have another phone call from someone. We're going to close with the benediction, and we'll be back. We'll be back. Excuse me, family. Let me find the benediction, and we'll be ready. Let me get my glasses on, too. And to close with the closing prayer. But my heart is filled with joy. Because I truly believe that those in the hearing, some things got let loose today. Some demons got let loose. Some healing has started. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Tora Abba Yah, for your service tonight, Father. Thank you for the wisdom that you have put upon them, Father. Father, I ask and pray that you keep both of them, Brother Moray Deuel and Moray Mariel, Father, that you continue to feed them, Father, that they continue to grow their relationship with you, Father, that they continue to open up and be your vessels, Father, to be open books so the world can read them, Father, as they read the rest of your word, Father. Father, Yah, I ask and pray for all my family members, Father, for the whole household of this Yahweh, Father, that your head stay around us, Father, that your blessings stay with us, Father, and Yahushua stay in front of us, Father. In his holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom, Yisrael.
Shabbat shalom.
You're my closest friend.